Thank you, Pastor Eckbert. Good morning again, everyone. I invite you to take your worship folder to hand that you received on the way in to the auditorium this morning. On the back of that is an outline for today's talk. On the back side of that is an outline for you to look into this week as you reflect a little bit more deeply on what it means to love God with all your strength. We're in a series looking at the contours of Jesus' life, how we can live a life shaped by Him. And we've seen that He really lived His life in three dimensions. Jesus lived up in community with His Father. He lived in community with the disciples. And He lived out to serve the world. In the last few weeks, we've considered a bit more closely the up dimension of Jesus' life, His relationship with His Father, and how we can develop our relationship with our Heavenly Father, how we can live up. And we've done this by looking at the Great Commandment, which was given by Jesus in answer to a very intriguing question. A teacher of the Jewish law came to Him and asked Him, of all of the commandments in the law, which one was the most important? And Jesus, without hesitation, responded this way. He said, "The most important one is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." And for the last few weeks, we've been unpacking what that means for us. If we want to live up, if we want to be in relationship with God and nurture our relationship with God, it will involve our heart, our feelings, the emotions that God has put into our life. It will involve our soul. That's our being, the center of who we are, where we decide. It's our will. And last week, we took a look at how we can love God with all our mind, our thinking, our thoughts. And this morning, we're going to talk about how we can love God with all our strength. We don't need to spend a lot of time defining what is meant by strength here. The word strength refers to our physical abilities, the exertion of our energy, engaging in physical activity. So to love God with our strength means to love Him with our abilities, our energies, and our actions. Now, the one thing we can't lose sight of is not only is each capacity important, our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength, but also the passion and the dedication with which we're to love God. Our devotion is to be wholehearted, all of our mind, all our emotion, all of our being, all of our thinking, all of our doing. Now, the last 3 weeks, we've been kind of taking a look at our internal life, our heart, our mind, our soul. Today, we want to look at the outside a little bit and look at loving God with our strength, with our doing. How do we do this in our life? How do I put my energies and actions into loving God? Well, this is an aspect of loving God I think that we're comfortable with, at least in theory, because it's very much a part of how we think of loving. When we think about loving someone, we generally think of two things, how we feel and what we're going to do about how we feel. You feel love for someone, and then you do things that reflect or show your love for them. And the doing, the showing your love part, it really isn't that hard. You might buy the one you love some flowers, plan a special evening out, speak uplifting and encouraging words. You might embrace them, hold their hand. You might lend them a helping hand. Take out the garbage, empty the dishwasher. You might buy them a sleeve of golf balls. You know, whatever communicates to them. Loving someone and demonstrably doing something in relation to how you feel about them, it goes hand in hand. And it's no different with God. But how do we show love to God? How do we love Him with our energy and our activity and our ability? How do I love God with my strength? How can I develop that in my life? What does it mean to love God with our strength? What kinds of things are we talking about here? Well, first, in anticipation of next Sunday's message, we're talking about loving those around us. Loving those around us. This is the very first way we can love God with all of our strength. It's by loving those around us. Jesus was very clear about this in Matthew 25, where He says, "I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you visited me. I tell you the truth," Jesus says, "whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did it for me." So in this passage, we see Jesus talking about the hungry, the thirsty, the stranger who needed a helping hand or a welcoming word, people who needed clothing, people who were sick, people who were in prison. And to all of those needs, longing for a tangible expression of love, whether it was food, water, help, comfort, clothing, housing, company, Jesus said, whatever you do for one of those people, you do it for me. So to love God with all our strength includes caring for the needs of others, because when we do that, we are loving God. Serving another person is service to God. There's a very powerful story of a little 10-year-old Jewish boy who suffered under the Nazis during World War II. He was living in a small Polish village when he and all the other Jews in the vicinity were rounded up by the Nazi SS troops to be sentenced to death. The soldiers had the soon-to-be-executed people dig a long, shallow ditch at the foot of a wall and then lined them all up against that wall at the edge of the ditch. The soldiers then opened fire and mowed them down to their death with machine guns. And the soldiers did it in such a way that when these prisoners were shot, they would simply fall forward into this shallow grave so that a minimal amount of work covering up their bodies would be required. For whatever reason, none of the bullets from any of the machine guns hit this little boy. The blood of his parents splattered his body, and he had the presence of mind to fall into the ditch with all the others. And falling on top of his parents, he lay there motionless, pretending to be dead. The soldiers quickly threw a thin layer of dirt over those who were murdered, and the amount of dirt covering this little boy was so small that it didn't prevent him from breathing. And several hours later, when darkness had fallen and the Nazis long since had gone, this little 10-year-old boy dug himself out of his makeshift grave. And having dug himself out, with blood and dirt caked all over his little body, he walked through the dark to the closest house to beg for help. The owner of the home, recognizing that he was one of these Jewish boys who had been marked for death by the SS, simply screamed at him, told him to leave, and slammed the door in his face. He was turned away at the next house and again at the next. Every time the door was just shut in his face. No one wanted to get involved. No one wanted to help. Shivering in the cold of the night, he made his way to the next home. And the door opened up, and fearing that they would recognize him as a Jewish boy marked for death, and so subsequently slammed the door in his face, he blurted out, "Please don't shut the door." And then he said something very unusual for a little Jewish boy. It was something that had occurred to him on his way to this house. He said, "Don't you recognize me? I'm the Jesus you say you love." After a pause that must have seemed like an eternity for that little guy, the woman standing in the doorway swept him into her arms and kissed him. And from that day forward, the members of that family cared for that little boy as if he was their own. To love God with all our strength entails reaching out to the raw, physical and emotional needs of others in Jesus' name. This is why we as a church in the past have helped build homes for the homeless. It's why a great number of Grace Point family members have sponsored and still sponsor children in South America and Africa, providing them shelter and food and education. It's why we've done clothing and equipment and school supply drives to support our sister churches in Africa and South America and Eastern Europe. It's why we've been involved with the Mustard Seed downtown and Kids Cottage and continue to support the work of Ronald McDonald House. It's why we help resource the Haitian Children's Aid Society and the orphanage that is there in Haiti. It's why we're coming along a church replant in Vernon, B.C., led by Jeff Peter, the Pleasant Valley Church of God, and are looking to resource the church there. It's why we're involved in our community association here in Ellerslie Heights and why we open doors and support the work of Alcoholics Anonymous. It's why we do what we do on Sunday mornings to help people get connected to Christ, to experience the forgiveness and freedom that He alone gives, to help people find peace and purpose and rest in Him. But it's still an area that we need to grow in. Our church family can still do more. So many of us live lives in this bubble of affluence that we're sheltered from the cries and the screaming needs of those around us. There's so much more that we can still do. But this is part of loving God with all our strength, that we love the people that God has placed in our lives, the people that we encounter every day. We are called, all of us, to love God in this way. A second area that demands our strength, or how we can love God with all of our strength, has to do with the church, serving in and through the church. Just as the Son of God did not come into this world to establish a popular philosophy or even promote a certain worldview or even a set of spiritual guidelines and insights, He came as God in human form to establish a relationship with us and show us how to live and commune with God the Father. And He ultimately gave His life away for our sin and then established and empowered the church to proclaim and carry on those very objectives, which is why Jesus would end up calling the church His very body. His presence in the world, the means by which He would be made known and have the work of the kingdom of God done. Colossians 1:18 we read, "And Christ is the head of the body, the church." And the Apostle Paul reminds the believers in Corinth, saying, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it." The church is a cause, it's an effort, it's an enterprise, it's a functioning thing that Christ intended to empower by His Spirit with our strength and activity and muscle. Which is why He gives gifts to the believers who make up the church to be used for ministry, to serve others. Paul, writing to the church at Rome, says this: "Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members don't all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many, we form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us." A spiritual gift is a manifestation of the Spirit of God Himself in us, working in and through us to get the work of God done. That's how each of us becomes the hand and feet of Jesus, carrying on His work in this world. We are about this very work. The work that Jesus started, we continue in order to bring hope and change in this world. The community of faith, those who love God with all of who they are, those committed to credibly and accurately representing Him in this world, the church, it is the only hope of our society. But it can only be so. This only happens when the body functions as the body through the strength of the body as empowered by God's Spirit. We're only as effective as each one of us contributing our time, our talents, and our treasures to the cause. It takes every one of us doing our part, serving in an area of giftedness, serving in an area of need, so that the work of God gets done. The people share with me, I'm going to ask Kutcha to come on up. The people share with me the impact this church has had on their life, how Christ has used the people in this church to transform their life. Many of you who faithfully don't know or can even begin to understand the difference you're making in someone's life because you've been willing to give of yourself to the cause of Christ. And when I hear these stories, I'm grateful that I can be part of a church that understands that to love God means to love Him with our muscle, to love Him with our strength, our energies. This is what God uses. It takes, for instance, the loving strength of people to warmly welcome those who've come to worship with us on Sunday morning. Kutcha is going to come and say a word to that end.
Cool.
Okay, there we go. Leon.
Awesome, thank you. Good morning, everyone. Yeah, so one of the things that we work on from the welcome side of things is the stranger inviting you in part. Because we want to make sure that people coming worshiping with us, spending the Sunday morning here, really feel welcome in this church and to this church. And we want to get a more intentional about the connecting side of things too, because we have a lot of established groups, but we want to make sure that, you know, new people don't stay on the outside and continue to feel new, even though they've been coming for a long time. So if this is something that's on your heart, something that, you know, is in your way of serving God with your strength, then by all means come and talk to us at the info center after, and we'll help you be part of the connecting team.
Thank you, Kutcha. So it takes the loving strength of people to warmly welcome those who've come to worship with us on Sunday morning. It takes the loving strength of people who are working in our nursery to care for our infants and toddlers so that their parents can take a break and enjoy a morning of worship with as little distraction as possible. It takes the loving strength of our dedicated Grace Kids team to craft a morning for our children so that while we're worshiping and nurturing our relationship with God in community here in the auditorium, our children and our grandchildren are in the kids' wing worshiping and learning about God. It takes the loving strength of our core youth ministry team under Pastor Craig's leadership to shepherd the spiritual journeys of our junior highs and our senior highs. It takes the loving strength of our musicians and vocalists and technicians and sound and video leads to help us enter into a meaningful time of worship to God. It takes the loving strength of our elders to help us stay on track spiritually and to live God's vision for the church. And it takes the loving strength of our trustees to ensure that we're being good stewards in accomplishing that dream. It takes all of us loving God in practical ways, not just with our heads, our hearts, and our souls, but with our strength. And thirdly, we can love God with all of our strength by giving of our resources, our money. This is about stewarding what's been entrusted to us. Now listen closely on this. Stewardship is about responsibly working with resources that have been entrusted to us, but aren't really ours. The resources that you have, they really don't belong to you. I'm pretty sure that you didn't bring them into this world when you were born. And having conducted lots of funerals, I'm pretty sure you're not going to take them with you when you go. Those are resources that have been entrusted to you. And now before some of you have your blood pressure rise a few points and maybe head for the exits, let me point out that the link between the act of giving and the act of loving was made by Jesus. Next to the topic of love, the thing that Jesus spoke most about was giving. There's a reason why. Look what he says in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 6. He says, "Don't store up treasures here on earth, where they can be eaten by moths and get rusty, and where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven, where they will never become moth-eaten or rusty, and where they will be safe from thieves. Wherever your treasure is, there your heart and thoughts will be also." Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Giving is always a heart issue. What we spend our money on reveals what we value. And when we give of our money, of our resources, it places our heart and love where we gave it. So to physically give of your money to God is actually to express your love to Him. This is why the Bible teaches that on the first day of the week, we're to take the first part of our income, the first 10% of everything we make, and give it back to God as an act of worship through the local church where we worship. And we are to do this carefully, conscientiously, and cheerfully as an expression of our love to God. Listen to the words of God in Malachi 3:10. He says, "Bring to the storehouse a full tenth of what you earn, so there will be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord all-powerful. I will open the windows of heaven for you and pour out all the blessings you need." There is a huge blessing in giving. The windows of heaven open for those who faithfully give and support the work of the kingdom. You cannot outgive God, friends. Let me show you one exciting new opportunity that you have to support kingdom work. Take a look at the video that's going to be on the screen in just a second. What a dessert reception fundraiser happening in two Sundays from now. Joseph.
Good morning, everybody. Such a joy to be part of such a wonderful family. Jenny and I are so blessed to be part of Grace Point. For the past few months, I started a full-time ministry among Muslims in Edmonton and in Alberta and in the Middle East. Excuse me. We have been experiencing an amazing response from Muslims, and we have such a heart for them. They are such a wonderful people, but they are very isolated. The statistics are saying that 97% from Muslims have never been invited to a Christian home or a Canadian home. So we try to connect them with the church. We try to provide them with a loving body that they can step out of their community and be part of the body of Christ. On November 20th at 3 p.m., we will have a fundraiser here at Grace Point. Excuse me. For our ministry, we will be collecting funds and donations to go toward the poor Muslim families in Edmonton and also refugees in Lebanon. If you would love to come, please talk to me after the service. You will find the tickets and some more details in the welcome center. Thank you.
Joseph will be out in the lobby in the welcome center. And by the way, he will give you a free pass to this thing. You don't have to buy a ticket if you bring cake. All right, so I'm going home and I'm going to make my best tort the Friday before November 20th so that I can go to this thing. And we're going to have a great dessert reception fundraiser. Thank you, Joseph, for that. So that was a brief look at what it means to serve God with our strength. And if that's what we want to do, what does it take to nurture and cultivate within our spirit to see this come into being? When you scan the scriptures, when you walk through the text, when you look at the lives that God has used, people who loved God with all their strength, you see four things. Maybe note this down. Loving God with all of our strength, first of all, takes a spirit of humility. This is something that we see in the life of Christ time and again, most pointedly when he washed the feet of his disciples. This was the most menial of tasks. Not even a Hebrew slave was required to wash the feet of someone else. And yet we see Jesus grab the towel and the basin and tackle a task that everyone else in the room thought was beneath them. And in John 13, verse 5, we read, "He poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet." Loving God with all our strength demands a spirit of humility. It's too easy for us to begin to think along the lines of, this task is beneath me. That's someone else's problem. Let someone else make the effort on that one. I'll let someone else tackle that. I've got more important issues to deal with. This, by the way, is why we celebrate the ordinance of foot washing every year on Monday, Thursday as a church family. It's a very powerful reminder of the spirits with which we're to live and serve. We are most like our Master when we are on bended knee, humbly giving and serving. Years ago, many of the guests of a Chicago area church were surprised, some were even shocked, when they dropped off their infants in the church nursery to see that one of the nursery workers was former NFL star, Chicago Bear linebacker and Super Bowl winner, Mike Singletary. He's a big man if you remember him from the day. And they generally find him sitting in a rocking chair, cradling a tiny baby in his huge arms, or standing at the diaper change station, or sitting on the floor playing with a couple of toddlers. And he served, he'd be on rotation, serving like everyone else, and he reported that people would ask him all the time, "Hey, what are you doing in the nursery? You're famous, you're like a football star. Don't you have more important things to do?" And he'd simply respond with this, "Why wouldn't I take my turn helping alongside everyone else?" That's the heart of a servant, a spirit of humility. The second key to loving God with all my strength is a spirit of sacrifice. You cannot give up your time or your money or your energy or ability. You cannot love God with all your strength apart from a spirit of sacrifice. It costs something to love God in this way. When you give money, when you tithe or offer, that is money not spent on you. When you give of your time, your energy, that's time and energy not spent on you. And when it's not focused on you, it is to one degree or another a sacrifice. And the only way we can love God with all of our strength is to do it with a sacrificial spirit. See, let me tell you what I think our natural tendency is. I think most of us love and serve from a spirit of surplus, meaning that we'll give of our strength when there's a surplus supply of it. We'll give of our time when we've got some of it. We'll give of our money when we've got extra of it. We'll give of our energy when there's more than we need. Or what we'll do is we'll do a quick cost-benefit analysis, meaning that we know that serving is going to cost us something, but we think, if I get more out of this than I put into it, maybe I'll do it. But truly loving God with all of our strength occurs when we trade in the spirit of surplus for a spirit of sacrifice. And we say, regardless of what this costs, I'm in. One of the people who embodied this for me was Henry Nouwen. He was an internationally renowned priest and author, a respected professor at Yale and Harvard. He wrote over 40 books on the spiritual life. He spent 10 years at Yale from 71 to 81. He decided to leave Yale in 81 to spend 6 months in Peru. In 83, Nouwen accepted a position at Harvard Divinity School, and though he was very popular at Harvard, he wasn't very happy there. He found it was a very ambitious, competitive environment, and he yearned for community. And this is what he wrote, reflecting upon that. He said, "After 25 years of priesthood, I found myself praying poorly, living somewhat isolated from other people, and very much preoccupied with burning issues. I woke up one day with the realization that I was living in a very dark place and that the term burnout was a convenient psychological translation for a spiritual death." And so in 1985, Nouwen resigned from Harvard. And after a chance meeting with Jean Vanier, the founder of L'Arche, an international movement of communities that welcome and care for people with disabilities, Nouwen was inspired to spend a year writing in the original L'Arche community in France. And he felt at home there. And in 1986, he accepted an invitation to become the pastor of the L'Arche community of Daybreak in Richmond Hill, north of Toronto in Canada. And he lived in one of those homes. And he was asked to help Adam Arnett, a man with a severe disability, and found an intense amount of fulfillment helping Adam with his morning routine. I suspect Henry did what he did because he knew that that's what Christ would have done. It's where Christ would have served. And that brings us to a third area. If we want to love God with all of our strength, there has to be a spirit of service, a spirit that feels that the highest value, the most important issue, and this goes hand in hand with a spirit of sacrifice, is that the highest value, most important issue is to meet needs in the name of Jesus. Consider again the example of Christ. There was a selflessness about everything that he did. When he washed feet, why did he do it? Feet needed washing, so he washed them. Was it fun? No. Was it his primary spiritual gift? He wouldn't have even thought about that. He had a heart of a servant, and that led him to invest his energies where there was a need. And finally, there's got to be a spirit of commitment. The lives that have loved God with all their strength have been lives committed to loving God with all their strength. Commitment is the key. Study the life of General William Booth of the Salvation Army, and you will discover this very quickly. A biographer records a moment closer to the end of General Booth's life, where the general's son, Bramwell, informs his 83-year-old father that a disease in his eyes that had temporarily taken his eyesight was now going to be permanent. And General Booth in the scene asks his son, he turns to him and asks his son, Bramwell, "Do you mean I'm going to be blind?" And his son said, "Well, General, I fear we must contemplate that." And the general paused and asked, "You mean I shall never see your face again?" And Bramwell replied, "No, probably not in this world." And the old man's hand reached out and grabbed for his son's. He held it and he said calmly, "God must know best." And then he continued. He said, "Bramwell, I have done what I could for God and for the people with my eyes. Now I shall do what I can for God and the people without my eyes." That was a spirit of commitment, and why to this day the Salvation Army has a value system informed by loving God with all our strength. And it goes right back to its founder. So let me wrap this up by evaluating how we're doing. I'm going to invite the worship team to come back on stage. Let me just ask you, how are you doing in this? Where you're at may be fine. Where you're at may be fine. But it would be tragic if you went no further in this journey of loving God with all your strength. So are you at a place where you're loving God with all your strength now and then? It's sporadic. You're doing it occasionally. It's not an ongoing part of your life. When a need arises, you'll help out if it's not too inconvenient. You give what you want. Serving, giving, and loving God with all your strength sporadically can make a difference, both in your life and someone else's. Don't get me wrong. For some of you, this is where you're at. And it's been a huge step forward just to get to you to this place in your journey. That's great. But you need to hear me say that it will not take you very far. And it's obviously not what loving God with all your heart is all about, with all your strength is all about. It's not where you want to stay. Then there's loving God with all your strength regularly. You know, you're on a team somewhere here at Grace Point and you're contributing on an ongoing basis. You're giving of your time and your talents and your treasures regularly. You can be depended on. This is decisive because there are so many needs that can be met, so much great ministry that can be done by people who can be counted on, people who've committed to make a contribution to extend God's love by serving regularly. Regardless of what team you're on, whether it's the junior high or senior high ministry team or the prayer team, Ramp Up Sports, Grace Kids, nursery, welcome team, kitchen, whatever, we're grateful that you are serving God regularly. There are so many ministries here at Grace Point that need commitment and consistency and dependability. It's this level of strength giving where many of you are at, and you're making a big difference, and I say thank you to you. But there's also a place that you can consider moving on to. There's loving God with all your strength strategically. You've decided that you're going to set out to discover your spiritual gift, and you're working your way through our classes. And in the Discovering My Ministry class, you're hoping to discover and develop and deploy your spiritual gift in a specific ministry that you're passionate about, whether it's with children or music or prayer or teaching, whatever. You're investing yourself in ministry, and it's bearing fruit and it's impacting people. Strategic strength givers are investors in God's kingdom financially. They contribute regularly and passionately, knowing that they are making a significant investment in storing up treasure in heaven. But they're also looking to give strategic gifts above and beyond their tithe to fund an initiative that will impact people's lives. Initiatives like Go Ministries. These are the kinds of people looking to serve others wholeheartedly with all their strength. They enjoy rolling up their sleeves, and they know that serving someone else means that they're serving God. And finally, there are those who love God with all their strength so selflessly that they become dangerous in a good way. The deepest, most significant level of service occurs when you live selflessly for Christ. You make a private pact with God to live in a vital union with Christ, to love and serve Him with utter abandon no matter what the cost. And you're living in such a way that you're willing to give your all to Christ, even when serving gets really inconvenient and costly. You're living your life close to Christ. This is how Jesus lived His life. He left nothing on the field. He poured out His life, and He told His followers, "If you want to follow Me, pick up your cross. Love Me with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength." Heavenly Father, would You please help us? Would You assist us by Your Spirit to become people who love You with all our strength?